I'm not sure if it's an option, guys, but I think we can, like, I think I can opt out of the webcam if I'm not talking, and somebody else can jump on. So I don't know if maybe we can.
Yeah, we'll do that here in a second. Part of the growing. So we've got the class rounded out, and you know, just quick admin. Let me go ahead and share my screen with everyone. So really quick, admin, you should have a full, everyone should just about be done with mindset, and now you should have access to strategy and be making your way through that one. The task tracker, I need for you guys to go over there, and you go ahead and you should be able to enter your name, and you can put your email address, and go ahead and mark off what you've knocked through. It's something, we get copies of everything you submit. And I'll let you know if for some reason you're saying you submitted something and I don't find it or I don't see it, but you can go ahead and put it out there. So right now, Zach Bob's put his info in there. But John, Nick, while we're talking, you guys can even jump in there. Dave, at any point, Steph, you know, HJB, you guys can jump in there and add Mike if you've knocked through anything else. So what'll happen is in the next 24 hours, I'm going to close off. You should already have knocked through most of module one. In the next 24 hours, I'm going to close that off, and we'll take note of what you've got marked. I'm going to go back into the system, and we're basically going to select, who is that week's scholar, and we've got we'll figure out something. Everyone's, you know, every week we want to have we want to recognize someone who just goes through and kicks ass, does a great job. Like I said, every module it starts over, so you can completely miss it when it comes to module one, and you can just kick butt in module two, and it counts for what it is. It's just something we like to see everyone going in there, marking what they've knocked through. And again, I count it, even if you just go through and you put yada, yada, yada in the answers, and if you don't know what I'm talking about, each of the modules, you should be able to go through, knock through this stuff right over here. Looks like Dave's got a visitor, and you can put name, email, and just answer the questions here. The more detailed, the better. We're able to use this information there's a little bonus for actually filling this out, but one of the things is, I mean, we like to read into your answers, and it really helps us as we start to get deeper into your talking about what your goals are and everything you're trying to get out of it. So last week we talked about module one mindset. This week, we are moving on to strategy. Now, this is really high-level stuff. It's very important, though, this week that a couple things. Your business model, and within your business model, we're going to have the lean sheet. So you're going to want to basically download your Canvas, and you want to have this done because you want to attach your business model or your Canvas to this. And we're going to take a look at it. This is something we'll pull up. Very important. You go through this exercise and you look at what are your problems, solutions, key metrics, channels, unfair advantage, customer segments. And what you put down now, honestly, it's going to change. It's going to adjust. It's better now for you to find holes in it and for you to be, in a sense, say, wow, I have to question your fundamental beliefs now than a little bit later, because right now it's maybe it's a time mistake. Maybe you've put a little bit of money. It's a $5,000 or $1,000 mistake. The thing is if you don't fix this now or if you don't address this, it could become a $20,000 or a $100,000 mistake once you get investment money or you spend a year of your life working on something that honestly just was never going. You could have seen, you should have been able to see earlier that it wasn't going to work. Competition, high price, or I really enjoy a lot of these. So if you haven't, Shaping the Game, Not Just Playing It, this is one of my favorites. A lot of this stuff comes out of Harvard Business School, MIT. I took some of the best case studies that I read when I was getting that, fancy, $100,000. And we bring the stuff right to you, some of the best. So one of my favorite ones right here, Shaping the Game, Not Just Playing It. So let me go over. Let's see who has knocked through some of this. So Zach Bob, what did you think of Shaping the Game, Not Just Playing It? Can't hear you.
Sorry. I'm on that one now. I haven't finished that one yet.
Okay.
That's just, I just made it there today.
All right. Well, looking at the title, you know, what do you think, you know, Mike, if I tell you that title right there, you know, not just playing the game, but actually creating, you know, shaping the game, not just playing it. What comes to your mind? What do you start thinking about?
Making your own niche and making your own way inside of whatever market that you're trying to get into, which would be essential in the fitness industry because everybody's doing essentially the same thing. I need to show that I'm different. So that's kind of what I would think.
Okay. I would say, you know, yeah, creating the rules. So I've got a perfect example for you, John. When I started a tailored suit, most tailors that I spoke with, whenever they were doing custom deals, they were, hey, you can put 25% down and then pay me the rest of it whenever you come pick up your suit. Or you could even put 50% down, which is standard in a lot of places still. Some places, like you just have a credit with them. John, what do you think the problems are with that business? I mean, if everyone does it that way, I mean, what do you see as the problem with that business model?
Well, there's 2 points. First one is there's a lot of risk taken on by the tailor themselves, by workmanship hours.
The way it's always been done, right? Just do it the way it's always been done.
If we did that, then we'd still have, you know, oil lanterns and still be shoveling with shovels instead of snow plows. You know, and so, I'd say that's the biggest thing is you're placing a lot of the risk onto the tailor, and then based on that, sometimes, especially just looking at people when they purchase something, if they only have to put 50% down for something, you don't go into a car dealership and put, you know, 50% down. You got to go to a bank and get a loan and put 100% down to the dealership. So if you're doing deals like that, sometimes you get a perceived less worth than your competitors.
Yeah, or you get something, you get deadbeat clients, someone that, you know, they put some of the money down, but something happens and they just never show up. And, you know, both parties lose in that part. You know, they're such stuck with like a half finished garment that still cost you quite a bit. And, you know, you don't even know what to do about this guy who possibly, in some cases, I've heard of them even asking for refunds. Say, hey, you know, it's just not going to work for me anymore. Can I get my money back? It's like, we already cut the fabric. We already built this out. We've already spent time. Even if you haven't cut the fabric, you've probably built out the pattern. You've gone through all the exercises. So I learned from a company called Dell Computers. And what Michael Dell did in the 1980s and 1990s is it was a very lean model where they took the money and they built out the computer, and here's what they even did in finance. I don't know if you guys have heard this story, but Dell would not accept the deliveries from the trucks. The trucks would have to sit there right outside of the factory, and they would have a line that they were not allowed to cross. And at a precise moment, Dell would open up the back doors and take on that inventory, and within 10 hours, those parts were already turned and put into computers that went out the door. So when you think of something like that, I mean, Nick, what do you think's the advantage of something of running a model like that?
Well, it limits your overhead. You're paid before you send anything out. You're paid before you pay for anything.
What's your inventory?
Your overhead.
Minimal, gone. Yeah, so many companies fail. And John, you know, that's something you got to think about. I mean, well, if you're doing custom, but if you ever get into made to measure, Mike, you don't really have too much physical inventory. But any of you guys out there considering with physical product, inventory is not, I mean, it's something that you're constantly balancing with. You know, you don't want it, you don't ever want to run out. You want to have your hands to be able to grab it. But on the other hand, that's your money tied up in a product. And as your business grows, you can be caught in a really tough place where you've got $100,000, $500,000, $1 million caught up in inventory, if not more. And You know, where are you getting that? I mean, you're having to take loans out on banks, you know, from banks, and really it's something you want to be thinking about now before you're having to go to the bank and take out those, you know, that $500,000 line of credit. Cool. And that's the goal here, is to get you guys thinking about this stuff. That's the kind of stuff that we're covering, what I want you to be thinking about. And all right, so we had some homework from last week. And really quick, let me see. Tom, still see you out there. Jennifer, good to have you here. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. You have a good camera tonight? Because I'll have you jump in and take my spot here pretty soon.
Yeah. I don't have any technical difficulties so far, knock on wood.
Sounds good. I'll be jumping out here, and in fact, I'm going to step off, but really quick, Dave, did you get to talk last time? I don't think you did. You were in and out pretty quick.
I did not.
Yeah. So we're going to finish a few
intros. I was on the call. I just wasn't on the video.
Okay, got it. And I think we may, you know, when I didn't see a lot of people on the video, for some reason, I didn't give you the same type of, you know, attention. So really quick, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to get out of here. But Dave, I want you to go ahead and talk a little bit about, you know, what you got going on again, and, you know, talk to the guys here. Jennifer, feel free to jump on, and HJB will get you in here in a few minutes. So the mic is yours, Dave.
Okay. Hi guys. My name is Dave Berlin. I'm from Tulsa, Oklahoma. Marine Corps veteran. I got out in 2003. I went in pre-9/11, got out post 9/11. So a little bit of a different world. After that, I worked at a youth academy here in Oklahoma for 6.5 years. So passion for helping people, helping coach people through adversity, through business, different things. I got hooked into entrepreneurship in 2010, and I'm currently working on an exit strategy for the company I work with right now. It's a DJ. Mobile DJ business. We have offices in Tulsa, Dallas, Kansas City, Denver, Indianapolis. So we are definitely growing. Whenever I started with the company, we were just in Tulsa. So using a lot of the military scalability practices to help grow that company. Now I'm doing consulting for other companies. So in this quest, I've launched my own project working with veterans. And the company's called Discharge to Incharge. So my passion is to help veterans rediscover their purpose so they can be successful in their transition from service to civilian life. I think he's pulling up my TED Talk there. So I did a TED Talk last year. It was really, really good experience. With that, I've been kind of in the hibernation mode, because every lead that I get is some big, huge project, and I'm working on the exit strategy right now. So the goal is April 1st to launch a lifestyle business.
I got a meeting I'm supposed to be on.
And I'm going to be working with veterans, helping provide resources so they can get the assistance they need. In some cases, it'll be school, job placement, but my focus is going to be in entrepreneurship, which is why High Speed Elite made so much sense for me to be a part of it. So I've managed to make some really big contacts in the entrepreneurship space. So I'm working on building a platform to where I can monetize that through speaking events and coaching, consulting businesses, and just taking the show on the road. That's pretty much the gist of it.
Solid. Solid. Good. Yep. And you've got a great video out there. I know you were just recognized the other day, right? Someone actually saw you.
Correct. Yeah.
And that's the power of video, man, is that you're able to connect with people and even get recognized and become instantly a leader in your space.
Right. And the TED Talk definitely helps. It wasn't the greatest thing. The funny fact is that was actually my first public speaking engagement. It was just through a very extensive network that I was given the privilege to do that. I'm very passionate about what my voice is and what I want to help people discover. It's a little off the traditional path, so you know, I like to call myself a change agent, so I like to change the way people think. Look at it from a different lens, and with that, That's how veterans need to approach their transition. So I'm working on the curriculum, writing a book. I think I'm probably going to do an ebook just so I can get it done a little bit faster than the traditional publishing method, but I have a few plans for books next year as well. So just trying to get everything ready.
And super. Let's go ahead, and I'm going to move it over to Jennifer, J-Bear.
So I think I explained a little bit of what I wanted to do last call. It was towards the end. So I've talked to plenty of people back in September, and they everything that I've ever said to them, they're like, you know, it sounds like you would be a phenomenal coach. Like, why don't you go be a life coach and everything? My issue is that it's such a broad subject, and, you know, it can encompass anything from someone's career, someone's love life, you know, someone's finances, whatever it may be. My focus that I kind of like is that I like to approach problems in a different manner. A lot of people have this like negative mindset towards their problems. They think they can't ever get out of it, like they don't ever have any control for it, which I, in a sense, I want to empower people to let them know that they're able to change and make a choice and make a difference in their own life instead of blaming others. And similar to what Dave you know, wants to do and what he's passionate about is, like, for me, one thing that I want people to find in themselves is their authenticity, because that's something I've struggled with my whole life. You know, a lot of people pressing onto me what I should be or what I need to do and what I'm allowed to do and what I'm capable and not capable of. So it's all these external negative factors that have pushed me down to, you know, that has led me to sit where I am today in this call. And then, you know, we have our own personal internal factors that we have to combat. So essentially, I want to, I guess, mentally and emotionally strengthen someone and empower them in that manner. A lot of people focus on physical health. And I think that it's a lot harder to do the emotional, mental aspect of it because, you know, you have all these external factors that you're exposed to every day that negates your positive thinking, or, you know, it creates these limiting beliefs that we have, you know, and that's why we're sitting here today trying to figure things out with each other. So that's kind of a gist of what I've been delving into for the past few months.
Hey, Jennifer, what branch of service were you?
I'm still in, actually, currently with the Missouri National Guard.
And how many life coaches have served in the Missouri National Guard?
None that I know of.
Yeah. What I find, you know, it's a tough industry to, I find, to make money. It's one of those ones, and most of it is because I think most life coaches I find are almost too general, or they're not specific about what problem they solve and how that is going to, in a sense, help the person they're solving. I mean, they definitely do a lot. I've seen a lot of people doing pro bono stuff like that, but I think that you've got some very strong unfair advantages, you know, that you'll be able to leverage, because there's a legitimate need for it. And if you're able to, you know, the fact that you're a veteran, the fact, you know, that there's just all these like small details that you'll be able to set yourself apart. But cool. I look forward to seeing more of what. Do you have a website or anything?
No, I currently just have my blog that's more of personal writings, that just kind of gives an insight of what, I guess my communication style is. It lets you see my vulnerable side, mm-hmm. with things that I've dealt with in my life, because I pretty much put that blog up, I think, last year, September, in honor of my mom and to remember her and everything, so you get a bit of a deeper insight of the pains that I went through dealing with my mom's death. So it kind of gives you a glimpse of, like, I guess, my communication style in writing, because writing's been really prominent in me since I discovered my passion for it, probably when I was really young, through one of my teachers. So it's something that still sticks with me today.
good to go. I definitely would, yeah, I'm excited to see what you're going to do with this. And all right, well, let's go ahead and let me see. Is there anyone? I know we've got, let me see, still got JHB out there. Tom, was there anyone else that, that needed to give a strong intro of what they've got going? Because we've got some homework. I see, who else is out there? I see Steph out there.
Hey there.
Hey, Steph, how are you? We can hear you.
Living the dream.
All right. Well, I don't think you got to make an intro, Steph. So are you you ready?
I'm ready. Yeah, all sorry right. about last. So I signed up for this, pretty excited. Got stuck in a snowstorm similar to Tom while I was in Colorado last Monday. And got stuck in my office today. So I apologize for being a few minutes late. But I'm pretty excited. My story is I'm a physician. I'm a flight surgeon in the Air Force Reserve. I'm in the process of shutting down my private practice, which is a primary care sports medicine practice. And I'm deploying January 3rd to Qatar. Be doing some work out through Bahrain, Bagram, various places. Be back around May, and then I'm actually going to active duty Air Force to start a new program in the Air Force called EPIC, which is Elite Performance Initiative Center. It's kind of like the Air Force has decided to reinvent tactical performance sports medicine, starting with the Guardian Angel mission. So I kind of got in there just in a weird set of circumstances, selected to stand that up. So that's kind of my story, but I'm really been wanting to do something entrepreneur. I listened to, JLD pretty much since the beginning, and hopefully we'll start something in my area of expertise, which is kind of functional sports medicine for the tactical athlete / warrior, or anybody who's interested in that kind of knowledge.
So do you imagine yourself putting out like a course, or do you want to become a thought leader in that industry?
Really, I mean, I have been thinking a lot about this for several years, actually. I don't know. I just got to throw stuff against the wall and see what sticks. I know that I have the potential to be probably a world expert in kind of more of a integrative, functional sports medicine deal. I've done a lot of work with Olympic athletes and stuff like that, team physician for USA Rugby. But my passion is helping the military, my military guys. So I don't know. I mean, ultimately, I'd like to come out the other end as an expert, a world expert in that, and then maybe potentially spin off something from that, maybe a tactical performance sports medicine summit. I don't know. I just know that there's something out there for me to do. I knew I needed to join a mastermind to start strategizing, and just I've been wanting to do a mastermind for a long time. So when I saw this kind of come together with the Entrepreneur on Fire crowd plus the military, it just seemed like the perfect thing for me. That's a long answer to your short question.
Now that's good stuff, and it sounds like you've got a great skill set. I definitely agree. You could become a thought leader if you just got to start getting some stuff out there. I'm curious, is video, audio, or the written word? What do you think would be your vehicle?
Well, it's hard to know. I think I need to. One of the things I need to do is really niche down to a need, because I have a wide variety of expertise in this field. I've been in practice for a while, so I'm thinking if I can find that starving audience that needs this information, then I'll probably just do the formula, which is kind of start some type of thought stream that can be leveraged into all the ways that people may want to hear it, and then just see what happens. I mean, so probably it would be more of a course, or maybe I don't know. Like I said, I've got all kinds of ideas about it. Nutrition and, you know, I do nutrition based on genetics. I mean, there's just some really specific things I do. And I'm just not really sure, actually.
Well, I like that last bit about nutrition based on genetics. I think that, Mike, you're going to want to, you're definitely going to want to have a conversation. And that's something that you'll see us facilitating over the next couple weeks is Tom and I, we were just talking about this before the call. Our goal is going to be to make sure we introduce you all. And if we see a connection so that you guys can talk offline so that you can have, you know, a meaningful 30-minute to 1 hour conversation. In case you missed it, you know, Mike, he's working on a nutrition company. He was talking about actually putting together meals, you know, fitness plans focused on men. But the fact, I mean, it sounds like you can get down and it may be something that you can give him guidance on. Hey, these are the three books which shaped me. And I would definitely recommend that you go read these. They're going to be hard reads, and you probably want to get this perhaps certification. But by doing that, you're going to be able to attract a group of men who are, you know, who are elite, let's say, bodybuilders, and they will pay for someone to put together because they're going to competitions. These guys are willing to pay top dollar to have someone put together a daily meal plan for 12, you know, for 6 months. So that they can get down to whatever percentage body fat they want to, you know. But no, thank you. I've already got some people popping in here really quick. I'll finish this up on the admin, but you've got a Facebook group. If you haven't joined it, please do. And let me see. I've already got a few requests in there. I have to go look at. You already can put your information. Let me know if anyone's having any problems getting into the website. Again, we're starting on strategy this week. If you missed mindset, still do it, but don't feel like you're going to, you know, no one else is allowed in this program now because we are running you guys through this over the next 8 weeks. Every Monday we'll have a meeting. And so real quick, I want to visit two or three people that we talked to last week. We gave assignments and we said, hey, you know, let's see what you can do. I got my notes up in front of me. And first off, let's start with Zach Bob. Zach, we were talking about reaching out to old clients. What happened? I'm curious.
Well, I reached out to all 10. Now, I didn't try to sell them anything, though. I know your assignment was for me to make $10,000, but
yep.
I didn't try to sell them anything. Oh, I did ask them, though. I said, what was the problems that you were having with your campaigns, even after the training that we had already provided? And three of them said that PR, they wasted money on a PR company for them to obtain like PR press releases, but any type of press coverage, you know, like Fast Company, Inc. magazine, or anywhere along those routes. Two of them said it was fulfillment, problems with fulfilling their orders or trying to get the pricing down, the pricing model for how much it's going to cost to ship their products. One said they were in need of a graphic designer. One said they needed a videographer, and three of them haven't replied yet.
So what was the first one again?
The first three said they were having trouble with PR, basically getting their brand out there, getting any
and
kind of.
And had they paid money and they were disappointed with what they got?
Yes, not from me. They paid money for certain PR companies to. This happens a lot with crowdfunding campaigns. People will go and spend like a couple thousand or $3,000 to $5,000 on a PR company, and then get literally nothing in return. Maybe like one little article in a magazine that I probably could have got them in, or somebody just trying real hard could have got them into.
So I like that because immediately they had a problem and they paid money for it. And so imagine if you could solve that problem, and you know, it's like they're already throwing money at this. Mm-hmm. So that right there, those are all greens, you know, green. And I think that's ideally the kind of information that you're trying to glean from these guys. Imagine if there was a PR company that specialized only in these type of companies. I mean, that would be a lot more attractive. One that actually, you know, I don't know. What do you think? You think there's an opportunity there?
I think there are already several PR companies. I just think the problem is that the ones that contact you on Kickstarter are not the ones you want to go with. I know, so I can name two successful PR companies right off the bat that are already doing, kind of already in that niche.
And are they having success there? Is it something that they
yes.
can make money with?
Yeah, they're having really, really good success. I've been trying to figure out how one of them's doing it, and I still haven't nailed that down, how they're making it happen. But one is just doing a really good, I say PR, they're along the lines of PR. I guess they're like, one of them's a paid promotion company, and they're just running really good Facebook ads, and they've built some incredible target audiences that are performing. And the other one, I'm not sure how they're doing it.
All right, and we've got an entire part that we talk about. So have you ever seen this before, or you know what this is?
Are you talking to me?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I don't see anything.
Oh, it's not popping up there.
I see it.
Italy.
Yeah. Italy. What is yeah. it? Got a big picture of Italy up, the industrial, and can everyone else see it?
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. So if you can imagine, I've got a big picture of Italy up, and I'm showing you all the industries. And what's interesting about these industries is that many of them are in competition to each other. So what do you know? I mean, if you look at leather shoes, there's only, you know, or you look at textiles, notice how they cluster together. And so it is something that competition is good in many ways, because what it does is it shows you that there's a market, and then it gives you the ability to go in and talk about variety and things like that. So taking a step back from the industrial districts, but you know, it's the idea that if there is competition there, if there are multiple companies doing it, don't fall into the trap. I mean, I've heard a lot of, you know, just because, you know, Bill Gates, when they showed up and they started playing with all the user interfaces, or whenever Steve Jobs started playing with computers, you know, there were already computers out there, and they didn't just say, oh, damn it, somebody's already made a computer, I'm giving up. It's, well, we're going to do it in a different way, and we're going to go in there, and we're going to find a lucrative part of the niche, and we're going to cater to it. So just because there's competition isn't a bad thing. It's actually, I think, a great thing, and it shows that there is a market there.
I agree 100%. But the only thing is, like, when it comes to PR, we've done the PR thing in the past, and I mean, we've got some of our clients and like some outlets that I thought were pretty good as well. But at the same time, it's just so much work that goes into whenever you're running PR for a campaign. I don't know if we actually, my company has like the two individuals, has the ability to actually do PR for crowdfunding campaigns.
Yeah, and you may find it's just not something, and that's. And therefore, just go deeper in on the questions and stay in with these guys. It may be something that if you know some good PR companies, did you recommend those other ones that you know that are good?
And we're affiliated. I mean, we got an affiliate like set up with them. So
okay.
And they were recommended, but I don't know if they chose not to go with them or they went with somebody else. It might be someone who's a stronger salesman.
Okay.
What are these companies charging, these PR companies?
Well, the good ones, they only charge what they bring in. Some of the bad ones, they'll just charge anywhere from 1,000. I mean, I've never seen anything below 1,000, but they'll charge from 1,000 on up to 5 grand for some of these companies. And I've heard of 5,000 being paid before in the past, and sometimes I've heard of it working, and sometimes it hasn't. I mean, there's a ton of different PR companies out there that are doing this, that are going to these campaigns, offering services. Now, like I said, some of them are good and some of them are not. And most times they get the ones that are not.
When you say some only get paid what they bring in, what does that mean?
Basically, those are the two that I recommend. One of them is called funded.today, and the other one's called Jellop, Jellop. And how it works is they use a link, and they will track those links. So basically, the Funded Today does the really targeted Facebook ads, and they'll use that one link, and they'll share it out, and they'll be able to track however much money that they've made off that link, and then they'll take a certain percentage of whatever they made for your crowdfunding campaign.
All right. Tom,
can you? Interesting. Yeah, I was just looking at this to see how they do that. I think that's pretty interesting. Yeah, I'm curious. I got to dig into how they do that. But what's interesting, I mean, if people are paying, that's the thing. Like, I don't know, crowdfunding is a funny beast. I feel like a lot of people throw campaigns up there. They have no idea what they're doing, and then they want somebody to, like, solve the problem, which is sales, and you don't realize that you have to plan that a long time ago, you know, prior to the event. But what's interesting is if they're paying, you know, people are charging that amount of money, could be a low-hanging fruit, man. I mean, I do what you could call PR for book launches, and I've got it, so I basically have like two assistants, two VAs that do the whole thing, and I just have it systematized so that I just have to make the connections, and then they fundamentally, I've already made relationships, built relationships and stuff like that with tons of like outlets. So then when the time comes, if I segment it right, then I can reach out and say, hey, would this be of interest to you? So, I mean, the point is you can actually – there are probably ways you can do it cost-effectively even with a small team. You might have to get a couple of VAs, but that could be a possibility. So it's food for thought. If you want to dig into it, I can show you my systems on a one-on-one or something like that.
Imagine like a $197 course that's like a – it's like a seven-day down and dirty like guerrilla marketing course, and it's set – you know, it's – nothing. I mean, it's just delivered in a way. And the reason why this would be valuable to me is I have a team, and honestly, I don't want to be training people. And many of them aren't going to go out there and read a full book. There's one of my favorite books is Trust Me, I'm Lying. It's written, about Tucker Max and how they got lots
Ryan
of Holiday. Ryan Holiday. Yep. It's great. It's a great book in terms of how to get guerrilla marketing. I mean, one of my favorite stories is how they put those billboards up in LA about Tucker. He's going to do a show, and he's really hardcore. I would say he's definitely like a chauvinistic pig. But they went in and they vandalized their own billboards, and they blamed it on a feminist group. And so they got picked up by the media. And it's like they I thought it was pretty funny, but it's one of those things that they got on national media because they're like basically they're so – it's kind of like type like Howard Stern stuff. And, it's just like who would have – I mean, it's a little bit extreme, but, you know, it reminds me of another guy named Derek Halpern who would purposely start fights on his blog just to get designers and writers to start fighting about what's more important. Content or images, and he would just start fights in his comments section, and therefore would get tons of bit. You've read about that, Tom, right?
Yep, good stuff. It's funny because it forces you to think about what's your edge, you know? Because in both cases, they're actually both like pretty annoying people on paper, like Tucker Max and Derek Halpern. You just want to throw up in your mouth, but they're killer like marketers, killer salesmen. They can use techniques like that because it works for them. You know, it's interesting, though, but it forces you to think about your edge, too, in the space as well. Like, what makes you stand out? You're right. If you're competing against – I've done a number of crowdfunding campaigns, and every time I start a new one, I get emails saying, hey, do you want to promote this on these – and the thing is, like, I honestly, when I started, I'm like, I am actually kind of interested. But nobody gives me enough nobody was able to, like, sell me on it enough to, like – or make me feel like this is going to be worth my money. So I think a part of that is because I know – their automated responses, which there's nothing wrong with that. But you think about things like where if you could be more potentially high touch or more personable or even just segment down and only tackle like certain like real niche crowdfunding campaign stuff, like we only do tech. And that's because we have connections at TechCrunch, we have connections at Mashable, we have connections at Reddit, we have connections at whatever, right? Then all of a sudden, that's an area where you could say, yeah, we do, because this is solely what we focus on. We have connections that we know all the columnists that write at Fastco, and that write at Inc. And all we have to do is we have to draft this up quick because your campaign already started. But if we can hustle on this quick, we can get this moving and hopefully get some sales coming in. If somebody came to me like that, I'd be like, okay, this person cares. They're focused. They understand this is like a particular type of crowdfunding campaign I'm writing. You know, running, and they just mention all these blogs and outlets that I would want to be featured on if I was doing a tech thing. You know what I mean? And that's just one example, the tech space. But, I mean, I think if you hone – it's just one thing. You know, I'm just throwing it out there. You don't have to, you know, take it if it feels good. If not, throw it away. But think about it, I think.
Well, a couple things. One, I know how they're tracking the links. They're using Google Analytics just to track the links. But we kind of are doing something that's similar to that. We're not building our own PR brand, but I think I told you a little bit about it, Tom, that we're building a platform online that is an affiliate platform for crowdfunding campaigns. And that's kind of what we're going into. I mean, we could go the PR strategy, but at the same time, I'm still concerned that, one, we don't have the relationships with people at Mashable, you know, and that's something that we're lacking. We've been covered in Fast Company and Inc. magazine, but at the same time, those were just shots in the dark, and we just got lucky with them. So, and that's kind of what I feel when it comes for PR, especially for a crowdfunding campaign, that it is. It's a shot in the dark. I mean, you've got to try to build a relationship with them in advance, and we do offer that in our crowdfunding game plan. We already show them how they can go out, how they can create Twitter lists to follow certain bloggers or certain writers, and how they can try to and connect with them on these pitches. But again, that's all like a part of the crowdfunding course. So that's like when Antonio told me last week to go out and talk to these people and try to sell them something else, I was sitting there thinking, well, what else could we sell them? You know, because we've kind of already blown it all on the course. You know, I mean, we kind of put every single thing that we had into the crowdfunding course.
Where do I find that? What's the link for that?
The crowdfunding course? It's our crowdfunding game plan. It's currently for sale. I'd have to give it to you here off this.
What's the website?
If you haven't been on video yet, you can jump on. We've got two open spots, so I know there's a couple of you guys out there that can jump on.
Hang on one second. I'm sending it to you. And like I said, Tom, we've only sold 10 of these, and we haven't relaunched, but I'm going to send it to you here. This is a horrible sales page, everybody. I know it is. Here you go. And we've also built other sales pages with a sales funnel that links all that together, but we have not started promoting it yet, so we haven't switched the sales pages over. I can send you the other one as well. Hang on.
You know, yeah, so I would say depends. I don't know, Antonio, you can call me out on this, but I'm looking at this and I'm thinking to myself, low-hanging fruit right here. You said you sold 10 of these already?
Yeah, 10 of those.
With this sales page?
But that was just, no, not at all. Those were all actually referrals that came to me through other affiliates, I guess, throughout the crowdfunding area. Like, I had a couple other podcasts that sent clients my way whenever they were overloaded, or other consultants that were overloaded with work sent some clients my way as well. And those were all from personal conversations. We were able to sell them 10.
This is like, I feel like this is something like this would you could kill it with a live webinar where you sell this at the end of a live webinar. Have you tried that?
That's funny because right here on my board, I got that planned actually. I got two webinars actually in the whole sales funnel planned right here on my whiteboard. So I'm going to show it.
Okay, when's that next one go off? The first one?
The first what?
The first live webinar.
We haven't even scheduled it. We're still looking for a topic to talk on because one, it kind of we have a sales funnel built, and that's the reason why we got
how to fund your idea.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm in.
Okay, there we go. There's one.
Anyhow, I'm telling you, like, just don't overthink that. Like, really think through it. Say, like, and you'll learn. The thing is, you can adjust these webinar slides as you go forward or adjust the topics. Uh-huh. And I've done this before where I've kind of started with like kind of a topic and then I massaged it a little bit or changed it when I realized that like what I was focusing on wasn't like the exact thing people were asking about. But bottom line is like if it was how to get your crowdfunding campaign funded or how to turn your idea into $100,000 through a Kickstarter campaign, live training. Okay, well, here's the deal. Nobody's going to watch that if they don't care about crowdfunding, right? Number two is chances are they actually have an idea that they're prepping. So a topic like that is going to be very ripe for the person who's going to buy this course. So right there, and then you just build out, take one example of a case study that you did, ideally, or just backward engineer somebody else's and explain like, oh, this is how like Tim Ferriss funded his water thing. I don't know if you've ever seen that case study.
Yeah, Soma.
Yeah, Soma. There you go. He gave all the details and you just walk through it. But let's say ideally you actually have the experience and you can show one that you fund it, ideally with like a large sum, and that's the best validation. And at the end, just pitch it. I mean, that should be like low hanging fruit for you of something that you put into place and you test out quick. Even if nobody sells, you're gonna get experience setting up the funnel. You're gonna get experience doing a webinar, and I think you will actually be able to sell. Again, it's all a numbers game, but chances are if the slides are decent and if the pitch at the end is compelling, you know, 3 to 10% will probably purchase.
All right. Another thing holding us back from actually going forward with that sales funnel and exactly everything you're talking about right now is we went through the Jeff Walker. I told you that, the product launch formula, and at the end they're always talking about creating that scarcity, putting that timer on it. So we were going to put a timer and shut it down, and I'm afraid that like if we don't execute fast enough, you know what I mean, that then we'll run out of time in that like little window that whatever time we decide to go with. Like if we decide to go with 30 days because we're planning on a January 1 launch and then we're going to do it until February 1st. And then, you know what I'm saying about the timer, though? Like, because once it closes down,
I would say,
it looks
so
kind
here's,
of crazy.
Totally. So there's a few different ways to handle this, and this is where it gets a little time consuming. Ideally, maybe you can do the system, you do the process yourself, and you mark down the every item. So go through it and create an SOP for yourself as you go through this, item by item by item, and mark down what you do in your process for setting this whole thing up, because eventually you're going to hire out a VA to do this for you, the tech end. But one of the things you could do is have open close that are rolling. So when you do the live, so the course is closed right now. But when you do the live webinar, then it opens up, and it only opens up for 48 hours. And then it closes after 48 hours. And then the next live webinar, you do the same thing. It's open for 48 hours, and then it closes. And that's the only way you sell it. And I know guys that do that. And there might be better ways to do it. But when you're this, like, here's the deal. When you're starting from scratch with very little audience, it's tougher to do these kind of open four times a year type things that everybody else does. Like, uh-huh. You see it. Like,
yeah,
Derek Halpert,
like
for example, like it opens every quarter, it's a new launch. But he has a giant platform he can kind of continually open up to, because he's probably built, you know, tens of thousands of new subscribers in that time, so he can relaunch it to a new group. If you're starting from scratch, to create the scarcity, just have an open-close window, or do it on a discount. Say the only way to get this discount is if you purchase by the end of this webinar and you get $100 off. And then your follow-up sequence is $50 off, and then it goes away. And then you do another live webinar just like that, even if that means upping the price of the course itself so that you can discount it on the webinar.
Okay. That makes sense. I mean, yeah. And one last question on that. What do you recommend for, like, the point of sale? Right now we're using PayPal, but I'm not sure if that's where we're using the best option as far as...
What was the question?
The actual, like, at the end of your sale... as far as, like, for the point of sale, like, at the end of whenever you're selling, we're using PayPal. Is there a better way? Is there a better service that we could be using besides PayPal?
I've
just got a small little button, you know, the PayPal button, and it kind of looks crappy.
I do Gumroad, but they take 5%, so it's a couple more percent than PayPal. I've also done Stripe through – I use New Rainmaker for my platform, which is like an all-in-one type solution, so it has an e-commerce platform built into it, and I've used that. The point is, it doesn't matter what tool you use, man. It, you know, people are compelled. A PayPal link will work. I use Gumroad because it's like looks sexier and the checkout looks a little more professional. So you just put up a, you know, a nice image on there, and you say this gives you access to the course. You upload a PDF that says when you purchase this, you'll be added to our course within 24 hours, and then again you can manually do it. I have a VA do it. So once it's set up, it's set up. You might have to go through the process once or twice yourself to get used to it and then to train somebody else. But honestly, yeah, Gumroad, if you don't mind the 5%, the setup is nice there.
Would you have a separate MailChimp list set up for every single one of those open close?
So there's another setback, is MailChimp is horrible. And I finally got rid of it like half a year ago, maybe 8 months ago, and switched to ConvertKit. And I would encourage you to do the same. It's worth the slightly increased price. And now I can actually segment, I can tag individuals, I can actually create automations. So when people go through a course and click through a link, then I add them to another course or autoresponder series. So we can kind of dictate what happens to them based on actions, which is stuff that normally you could only do with like Infusionsoft or more advanced software, but ConvertKit lets you do it at a really cheap price. With MailChimp, I was able to hack it together where a purchase through Gumroad would be itemized as a I have to dig back into it. I forget the terms. You can create like a I wouldn't do individual lists. I would keep one list, because if you do double lists, then you get charged double. You know what I mean?
In
MailChimp, it's ridiculous. Yeah, so I would have it actually defined as like not a group, or but like a segment or something like that.
Yeah.
And you can do that, and I can show you how. I actually have, I think, an old tutorial I created that'll show you how to do that if you're interested.
I just think if you're – Zach Bob, you need to look at getting off of MailChimp. I mean, it's something, if you're going to have a business, you got to treat it like a business. ConvertKit is great. AWeber is a step up. You can also – you can get AW Pro Tools to plug into AWeber, and that works fine. There's other ones. I mean – go, but I would first look at ConvertKit because everything, it's brand new. Nathan Berry did a great job with it. Pat Flynn just reviewed it. Tom, I know you did a detailed review. You could probably share in the notes.
Yep.
And, yeah, it's well worth
sure.
It's a very, for the size of your list, you're under 1,000, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're talking what, $20, $30 a month. It's almost a no-brainer.
It is. Your return on investment is going to be worth it.
It'll be the first email you send. You'll see the difference. It's
there's dread and change. Everything that we got to change, man. It's a lot. But yeah.
But well, cool. Well, Mike, let's go ahead and let's pop over here. Let's hear about these three offers you got.
I tried to make it a lot more different from a lot of other online coaches that I've been seeing. They all base everything onto more fitness this, fitness that, and I really don't care about training athletes or bodybuilders because frankly, you know, bodybuilders are high maintenance. I know because I am one. And that's not where the money's at. 95% of the people don't want that kind of plan. They want to have their hands held and they want to basically be moved forward by someone that knows more than them or has been there. So I kind of got three. And the first one, I made it simple. I said it's a do-it-yourself plan. It's like $200 a month. This is for people that basically, like me, don't really want to write out their own diets and don't want to write out their own workouts. Because it's really hard to go into a gym and just come up with something that's actually structured and works. So for $200 a month, I give you a custom meal plan, custom workout plans. You have a photo log, journal log, access to personal email, and you get one 15-minute Skype call I needed a month to check up on things while you're doing that. Or you can just email me during the week. Then I picked one that's like a guidance package, which is basically an in-between for someone that really doesn't have any motivation or accountability, doesn't really know what they want to do. And it's basically the first four, which is custom meal plan, workout, photo log, and journal log, but they get two Skype calls a month for accountability and focus and email, and then they have one talk a month for learning. And then the personal package would be they get access to my phone number, they can talk to me whenever they want, and there's two 30-minute accountability calls a month. Educate you on nutrition labels. And then there's one talk a month for learning. So they get everything all in one. But if they need me to talk to them every week, I talk to them every week. If they want me to talk to them every 2 days, it's every 2 days. That's why it's $600 to $800 a month. I don't really know what a price ceiling for that would be because, honestly, there's people selling it for $400. There's some people that aren't even close to this personalized. I don't know anybody else that's this personalized with the plan, because I will, if I need to, talk to them for an hour, I'll talk to them for an hour, but it just depends on the kind of clientele. I'm trying to go for high end and low end, so that's kind of the direction I'm taking with that.
So your highest priced is $600, $800? Which one is it?
I wasn't sure. I was thinking all the way up to $1,000, but I was thinking $600 probably sounds better to me.
So which one do you want to sell? The bottom one, the middle one, or the top one?
So what packages am I actually planning on selling?
Which one do you want to sell? Like, you would sell it all day and you would be super happy.
Probably like guidance, but personal would be great because then, I know people value me at that price, so then maybe I could set it higher later on.
What's the problem with the personal one? How many hours do you have in a day?
that's a serious problem. That's why it's the only reason it's different. I've got, only so many.
Yeah, you've only got so many hours. You're a student still. You've got work that you've got to attend to. So usually in pricing, Tom, do you want to talk a little bit about that? I know you've done some stuff with pricing.
Yeah. So for this, bottom line is, I don't know, have you ever seen, well, maybe not. So here, so basic stuff on psychology of pricing is, one, we do associate higher value with higher price. So that's number one. Number two, though, is that human beings like choice, but not a lot of choice. So combining one and two, we want to actually give a few different options. Usually three is solid. It doesn't confuse people, but it also gives them the choice. And you can price anchor your highest price you set your package number three at the highest price you can, maybe $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, and you don't expect to sell it. That's just a price anchor. And then your medium priced one, the one you want to sell, is maybe $1,000. And then you have your lower priced option, which is $300 to $500, and that's somebody buys that and it's totally automated. And then again, that's cool if anybody purchases, but so a couple things here. By structuring it that way, one, you increase your perceived value as an expert or as a service provider, as a product creator. The product itself, whatever you're selling, the package, increases in value. People see the price tag and they're like, wow, that's expensive. He offers a lot. I'm going to go for one tier down. But some people will actually purchase that highest amount. They just will. But the other thing, too, is often when people look at the lower prices, this is also psychologically proven in a bunch of different studies. People will usually try to avoid the lowest price option so as not to seem cheap. So they'll go one item above. So you have this opportunity to structure your pricing in such a way where if you want to maximize your return on investment, focus on the thing you want to sell, make that your middle tier, and then have one above it that offers something ridiculous at a ridiculous price. Like you'll do daily phone calls or something like that, but like it's for a ridiculous price, and then have a lower priced option that's totally automated. So that would be my recommendation on how you start to price that out. Does all that make sense?
Yeah, because I mean, I was thinking someone that makes six figures would be the only one that would grab something like that, because I mean that's absolutely insane to price it out like that to me.
Nothing wrong with getting six figure clients.
Yeah, but I mean, like, I don't know. I mean, like, I'm just starting this. I'm not, like, a huge expert. I know what I know, and I know I can fix it.
How much are you paying to go to school?
Nothing.
Well, somebody's paying something.
Yeah, there's no such thing as free. Somebody's paying something somewhere.
Yeah, how much?
The government's paying for that.
And how much is it? How much is tuition?
To go to UAH right now, it's probably $600 plus a class.
$600 plus a class. So, I mean, there's a cost. I mean, there are some people that they'll look at this as, hey, this is just, I'm already, maybe it's a guy that, or, maybe it's someone that, I don't know, I'm just making this up, but they're getting someone else to pay for them. They're getting their business to pay for it. They set aside a certain amount every month, because they know they need to take care of themselves. They've had a heart attack before, and they're like, hey, this money is already set aside, and I'm going to budget it for it. I mean, my wife and I, we have a certain amount of money that is set aside for groceries, and with a family of six, it's quite a bit, but we don't go out to eat. We never go out to eat. So I have pretty much – we eat really good food, and we've got a very high grocery bill, because I just feel that I look at my kids. All four of my kids are in great shape. They're growing well. They're very healthy. And I look around, and I'm just surrounded by, honestly, a lot of – there's just a lot of childhood obesity out there because people aren't giving their kids the right food. So we make that a priority. There are going to be people out there that make $60,000, $80,000 a year, but exercising, getting in the best shape of their life is a priority, and they will budget. They'll surprise you. They'll have set aside, I'm going to hire you for 3 months or 6 months at $1,000 a month, because this is something I want to commit to doing, and I want it to be painful, and I'm going to fire you after 3 to 6 months because I'll be done with this. But you're going to help me get to it, because and there are people out there like that.
I guess my problem with the pricing is, it's like, how do I actually compare it to the people next to me? Because I mean, I know what I know, and I know what I've done, but is it really worth that amount of money? I mean, like, am I shooting too high?
Well, you got to build out your value. I mean, how much are you going to save them if they were to get a crappy coach and spend 3 months with that crappy coach at the YMCA? What have they gained?
A big waste of money and time.
Exactly. And how much is 3 months of your life worth?
My life? Oh, gosh. I value my life highly, so I don't know about them, but that's a lot for me.
Come on, the Marine Corps, wasn't it the SGLI we valued when I was in? It was $200,000 is what I was valued. So everyone's
probably about I think it was about 400,000 actually.
Yeah, well, they doubled it after I left. What was that? What was up with that? Yeah, it's like you guys' value increased.
I think it totaled up to about $500,000 though when she died for like funeral expenses and everything.
Yeah, I don't know if it was ever that much, but there's a SGLI. Yeah, that was something I haven't thought about. But the point is there's, you know, it's there's value there, and I think, you know, you're not your target market, Mike. And you've got to experiment with price. I would say that third price, you need to put it a little bit higher than what. So I offer coaching one-on-one. I think I have it at $3,000 or $5,000. And the reason I have it at that price is I don't want it. Like, I put it there because whenever I talk to people on the phone or on Skype, they value my time. They're like, thank you. You know, I really appreciate you. I know your time is valuable. They know my time's valuable because I've told them my time is valuable. Because if you get, you know, some people, I don't know if you've got these people in your life, but they just want to sit and gossip and talk about nothing. And if it's my family, that's cool. But if you're not my family, I've got four kids at home, like I'm just not going to spend all day talking about the Kardashians. It's like, you know, it's just not going to happen here. But you know what?
No.
And so you've got to put that, your time, your hourly time, Mike, has to, you've got to put that price on it. Because if you don't put it there, nobody else will.
I was literally just talking to another coach because I know I talked with Tom before. I mean, I've already got a basically nutrition business coach, and I'm dying to get on with talking to you and, you know, everybody else. But, you know, like he basically, you know, the same thing. He keeps me on track with nutrition-based stuff and things I need to do. But, you know, in line with this, I mean, my online prices are different from my price face-to-face based on the market and who I talk to. So if I'm getting, like, part of my sales funnel is referrals from somebody else, and they don't have that amount of money, and I have to price them out by talking to them and fill out a 7-page form. I mean, like, I don't know. I guess I'm overwhelmed by trying to figure out how much money someone's worth. I guess I just need to throw it out there, like you said, and just figure it out what I'm worth and just leave it at that. And
well,
don't
what sounds it. More attractive, if you get a free call with a guy who charges $200 an hour, but you're getting it free, or you're just getting you're just getting on the phone with a nutrition coach for an hour? Both of them you're talking to for an hour. Which one sounds like a better value?
$200.
Exactly. $200 because he simply told you his time. Both of them could be, this other one could be worth $300 an hour. But the other one told you, he built up his value, and, you know, he's got to back it up. You may be surprised at the end of it. It's like, wow, I would have paid that guy $200 an hour. I'm glad I didn't. But, you know, it's one of those things. If you don't put that price there, no one will value it. And then again, by being ultra specific, you know, Tom, you've said no to people before. I mean, you're now really selective about the kind of clients you take on, right?
Yes. And prices have gone up dramatically in the last 3 or 4 months. And because of that, I get better clients.
That's another problem I have. Like this, like I'm not trying to put this guy out there, and I'm not trying to be like mean, but I wrote out the most basic plan I've ever done in my entire life, and I basically said ham sandwich. It was basically a ham sandwich, you know, just, you know, bare bones. Like I would never give this to anybody unless they just couldn't handle it, and the hand portions are basically, you know, 4 to 6 ounces. You just measure it in your hand, put it on there, measure your hand, put it on there. And he's like, it's hard for me. I can't do it. And I'm like, dude, what's so hard about making a sandwich? You're like, I don't get it. I don't want that kind
of
client.
How much did he pay you?
If you can't perceive how to make a sandwich.
How much did he pay you?
I mean, I'm getting paid 50% of the client time. So I'm basically getting paid $15 an hour to train him one time a week. And I get 10% commission off of the contract. So he signed up for 48 sessions, so I made however much that is off of it, you know, maybe $300 and then $15 per session. So not even close to what I think I'm worth and all the time and effort I'm putting into them.
So one of the beautiful things about being more selective is it goes, I mean, both you're doing both sides a favor, but you're able to just be more selective about the type of people that you work with. For somebody, he will be the right client. But for you, for some reason, you know, there may be a communication issue. It just may be your personalities don't mesh. It may be he's not really ready for it. Because so there's a really nice thing about charging more. You know how you go out to one of those all-you-can-eat pizza places and you pay like $5 or $4, you get a lot of pizza. You don't really feel that bad about wasting half of it. Like you put 8 pieces of pizza on your plate, and if you don't eat 4 of them, I mean, come on, you paid $5. Oh, well, you know, I'm not too upset about it. But if you go to a sushi place and it's like $200 a plate, and if you were to waste half of the food on your plate, you're going to feel pretty bummed about it, right?
Yeah, I don't waste any food at sushi.
Yeah, it's there's a higher pain threshold because you had more skin in the game. For this guy, it may be something that there's not even enough skin there, and he's just doing it to satisfy, you know, it sounds like it's just not going to be the right customer. But
I mean, I don't have a – my problem is I don't have a choice. I don't have the income that I need to
the internet?
Again?
You don't have the internet?
Well, I have the internet, but like I said, my sales funnel's not right. I mean, like I'm not doing what I need to do. So
where's your offer? Do you have it on a Google Doc?
I've got it right next to the screen. I don't have it on a Google Doc. I can put it on one.
Put it on a Google Doc, because then you can share it with the entire world. And do you have a PayPal account?
I have a PayPal account, but I'm going to use DirectPay. That's what I was going to try and use.
Well, you're already using PayPal. I would just go on it, and PayPal has really spent millions building up its brand. All you do is go into your personal account, and you create a PayPal button, and you simply throw it on that Google Doc. And guess what? You've got a business. I mean,
Does it track taxes and everything else?
No, it doesn't do any of that, but it takes money. Because that's everything else is – so our first time when we started – Tom, I don't know if you remember the first class we had with High Speed Elite. Like we didn't even have all our accounts set up. So we gave them a physical address. Send us a check. And you know what? Checks came. Because if you solve a burning problem, people will figure out like they want you to solve the problem. You've just got to make sure that you solve a burning problem and that you're not vitamin. Don't be vitamins. You can miss vitamins, and no one's going to run to the store at 2 o'clock in the morning to get vitamins. But if you got a migraine headache, you're going to go, if your wife asks you, and you know, to go get, you know, which I'm talking to, it's my wife, you know, she got a migraine headache, I'm going to the store. Doesn't matter what time it is.
An important note here, I think, too, is, you know, it's like the question of product market fit. It's like if you're still not sure what the product is and you're still not sure of the market, what you have to do is do things that don't scale, right? The idea of like having systems and having everything like organized and nice, like Antonio has it for Real Men Real Style, or John has for Entrepreneur on Fire, those are awesome ideas. We all aspire to that. But before you have product market fit, it doesn't make sense to go and build all that stuff. If Antonio didn't know who he was speaking to, it would be a huge waste of time to build everything and make sure that like he had it completely scalable and was able to do all this other stuff. And by, you know, it's the quintessential problem that if you don't actually have the product market fit, then that's what you need to figure out first. And so if you're in the stage where, you know, you mentioned a couple times, well, I don't want to deal with bodybuilders. That's fair, but you need to figure out who you deal with. You have to get specific. Right. And you have to make sure that they're willing to pay you. Because here's the deal. Bodybuilders are probably willing to pay money for supplements and for training.
It's so specific with them, and it's a totally different specific niche with people, and there's so many people in that already.
Okay, and that's fine. What I'm saying, it's merely the point that I'm making is that until you can find out and define this is the type of person I work with, and you can validate that by going out to them and say, hey, let me help you. Here's how we do it. Here's my plan. It's on Google Sheets. Here you go. This is what it looks like.
How many stylish bearded Marines are actually in that market selling to those guys?
None that I know of.
Exactly. There you go. There's you. Now, but there's always an angle you can take. Don't be afraid of competition. It just may be, though, that you don't want to even work with bodybuilders. You just feel that they're all uptight and they're not even people you want to work with, which is cool. That's totally fine. But what we are saying is you got to make sure that the person that you're going to sell to has a burning desire, has a burning need for this, and that otherwise, it's just going to be a hard sell every time. You're not going to feel good about it. And, yeah.
Well, I think I know where I want to be. I know I want to sell to men, but right now I'm like I'm on a women meets weight summit. I'm going to be selling to women, building an email list off of women. So, I mean, like, that's polar opposite of what I want to do, but why am I going to say no when all I'm going to do is learn? I mean, like, that I can sell to women and men.
But you said your time was valuable. So, I mean, I would say you've got to say no, because if you say yes to okay opportunities, you are saying no to great opportunities because you won't have time for them. And it's hard, Mike. I say no. I just said no to $3,000 to talk about a bag, and simply because I would have to say no to, because I just got a watch company that paid me $10,000 to talk about them. So I would leave $7,000 on the table if I said yes to that company in the Christmas season. I mean, that's a lot of money. That's a lot of money. I don't kid myself. I'm thinking 2 years ago, I would have killed to, well, not killed probably, but I definitely would have. I would have loved to, and last time I promoted this company, I did it for free. So now they're offering me $3,000, and I'm probably going to say no, just because I may say yes in 2 months when I have an open slate, but I won't promote them during my high season, because right now traffic is ultra valuable to people. So you've got to think, you know, is this the right time for this? You know, and it's tough because you feel like you want to take every opportunity you can. But by doing that, you may be spreading yourself too thin.
I already feel spread too thin. I don't know where the hell I'm going. I mean, I know I want to help people. I know I want to help men. I know I want to promote style, but I know I can't get into style at this point because I know fitness better than style building my brand. I know I want to motivational speak, but no one knows who the heck I am. So, you know, like, I got tons of different avenues, but I can't do anything with it. And then there's all this in between. So.
Well, to me, I like, you know, I'm going to go back. I think if you could, by next week, I would like to see, I'd like to have a shared copy of your offer and try to stick some PayPal buttons on it. Go through it. It's honestly not, should be able to do it in about an hour, and stick those PayPal buttons on could be just a Google Doc that you make freely available. And if you could share it with me and Tom, and I want to see your offer, and we'll dive into it. I mean, literally what we're going to do is create a sales page. And the cool part about that is then you can spend $100 and get someone to turn that sales page PDF or Google Doc into actually a real sales page.
I also just checked. I don't know. Do you have, Mike, do you have a website right now?
Yeah, it's mikesimage.com.
It's called what again?
Mikesimage.com. M-I-K-E-S image.
Okay, yeah, I'm here. Cool. One of the things you might want to look into is, because you look like a pretty built, stout guy, and with the beard, that gives you more intensity, and the fact that you're a Marine, I just Googled marinefit.net is available as a domain. I'm not sure if that's the area you want to go, but when we talk about branding too, there's a lot to it. And, you know, the thing is, I think Marines have this, you know, aura. It's like, oh, it's a Marine. It's a tough guy, right? And they're in shape, and maybe that could be your edge. And again, this is kind of a branding piece as well, but think about that too. Like, how, you know, I look at Mike's image and I say, okay, I don't actually know what that necessarily means, but Marine Fit or something equivalent, that might mean something a little bit, that might speak to me as a male who wants to get in shape. If that's your target audience, chances are these guys want to get in shape, they want to be tough guys, and if you can be that aspirational kind of person for them, again, it's kind of it's all encompassing. But think about that too. What can be your edge? But yeah, go with Antonio's instructions for now. We'll get to that. We have plenty of time. to roll the stuff out. But think about that. That could be.
I mean, Mike's got all types of edges. You know, Mike, I mean, think about it. I mean, it's how many? I mean, how tall are you?
5'6" and a half.
5'6". And what is one of the issues with a lot of guys that are 5'6" and a half or 5'7" or 5'5"?
I can't fit in anything.
Can't fit in anything? What else? Do you feel? What do they? I had a friend. He's 5'5", great wrestler, all American, and he felt he always had a really negative attitude because he felt that like the world was like had cursed him or something, and that everyone, you know, basically he was like he just had a chip on his shoulder. That he felt that like a lot of things were geared against, you know, being shorter than average. And it, you know, right there, you know, you talk about when you take care of your body and you've got confidence, how to have confidence, you know, this, you know, with what you got and being able at the same time, how not to look like you overcompensate. Cause there are some guys that just like totally build themselves out, you know, to almost an extreme, but you know, there's angles you can take with this. And you know Brock over at The Modest Man. He would love to have a guest post from you. Aaron Marino, if you had something that was solid, you know, Aaron would definitely put it on one of his websites. I could make that happen. You know, Aaron's a business partner. I tell him what to do. Just call him up and we'll make it happen. No, but I mean I'd be very careful of you trying to get into the style world simply because it's hard to make money in this thing. And you need to have a unique angle, but that doesn't mean that you can't get in front of them. And for you to be able to talk about, hey, I work on fitness routines for men that fit this profile, you know, and this is my background. This is what qualifies me. You know, that may be an angle you want to explore, not necessarily stick with, and you can always expand out. But, you know, what's one of the issues, the advantages that men that are, you know, 5'6" have over men that are 6'6"?
Not going to hit my head on a doorway.
That's one of them. You're also not going to get your legs torn off when you eject out of a, you know, out of a jet. You know,
don't have to ride roller coaster rides.
Don't
better yep. power lifters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On average, better wrestlers.
There you go.
But I would say also, you know, the size of your heart in comparison, you live longer. Big guys, their hearts in general are smaller proportionally, and their hearts are having to work harder. And just large men oftentimes just don't live as long. It's just
suckers.
more work for the body. And I mean, I don't know what angle you could take with that, but maybe there is certain routines that it's like, hey, if you're, you know, if you're 5'6", this is going to be your bread and butter. Cause if you're 6'6", you probably don't want to be doing these exercises because you could overextend yourself, have bad form. And, you know, I don't know. I just, you know, use your unfair advantage. And that is something that you can zero in on.
I talked to Brock briefly about that, and he said he would love to have me post on there, but that was like 3 months ago. But I've been focusing on so many other things. I haven't gotten back to writing.
Yeah.
I just started writing again, but I'm trying to get better at it. But he brought up this guy in well-built style that's, you know, a lifter that does style at the same time. I was thinking more of me being a consultant for stylish people because I love men's clothing and I love style and I love that industry and I love lifting and I can't get rid of that. But like you said before, who's offering diet plans and meal plans for stylish people? I don't know anybody particularly.
I don't really know if that's a viable niche, but here's the thing is like, you can figure that out. Like you can put together a quick sales page with an opt-in and be able to send traffic to it and figure that out very quickly. But all right. Well, Mike, we're going to move on because we've got a few other guys out there I want to talk with, but cool. HJB, man, what's going on? Can you hear me?
Okay, can you hear me?
Good, we can.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, great. No, it's going good. I just thank God for the opportunity to be here. So what do you want me to do? How do you want me to start?
No, let's hear. Have you been able to make it through any of the courses or any of the class?
I have done two sections. I was supposed to do a lot and knock them out, but I've had a lot of distractions. I married a North Carolina woman. They love their family Thanksgiving. I've already been shopping for Thanksgiving. So, you know, that's one of my issues. I got to work on my focus.
All right. Well, I definitely say, you know, for you, One of the sections at the end of that module is going to be technology, not till module 7, so you've got a little bit of time. But I would say in the next, you know, definitely over the holidays, focus in on, you know, you've got a great attitude, I can tell. So I would say focus in, you know, on that module 2 for sure. Because here in the next 24 hours, I'm going to take stock of how everyone did on module 1. And we're going to go ahead and give a few great, you know, give people some feedback, and we're going to choose a winner for module 1, basically who kicked butt in week 1. So we're going to go ahead and jump in there. But I would say, you know, if you could jump in, and you can definitely catch them right here in module 2 strategy. So you got to talk a little bit last week, but I'd like to hear a little bit more about you know, some of your offline ideas or maybe some of your business experience.
Okay, great. I'm glad you brought that up, because I just want to say that I've been circling the universe of business for a while. I don't think I've really been committed because of issues, but I think I'm focused. And the fact that I'm even here amongst all these great people, I know I'm in business now. So that I'm excited about. Can I read what I wrote for you?
Sounds good.
I wrote down my business. I know that in order to be in business, I must solve the problem of my tribe. In order to have an online business, I must give people what they want. And in order to know what they want, I must ask. I did read that, listen to that book by Ryan. I can't remember his last name. I need to develop a systematic survey system. So that's one of the things I'm looking at. Who am I? I'm a servant leader who wants to connect people to God through the finished work of Jesus Christ. That, to me, is the ultimate source and power for life. I am a facilitator. I want to be a Christian life coach, so I'm trying to work towards that, and a transformational trainer. I want to help people discover their why, formulate their what, and implement their how. I use some of that from the Golden Circle, too. In that mission, I use a formula called God Can. This process empowers people to find solutions to life challenges and the ability to overcome adversity. Drawing revelation and insight from the Holy Spirit, we find purpose and are able to understand our purpose and move successfully forward with life and living. I focus on being transformed by the renewing of the mind, which has to do with our mindsets, and I've had a lot because I had a TBI. And this is where I want to develop what's called an adventures program, which is be kind of a transformational program. I'm a free spirit. I'm an adventurer, risk taker, a romantic, a dreamer, and a visionary. I want to do transformational training that involves traveling, because I love traveling. Obstacle courses, survival training, hiking, rock climbing, kayaking, scuba diving, biking, fishing, and skiing. I'm passionate about learning new things and developing new skills. My primary goal is to help others live life and to live that life more abundantly. I believe in being healthy, wealthy, and wise. I believe each of us are here for, at this moment, particularly in life, for a specific and unique purpose and ability. God's gift to us is life. Our gift to God is creating a life that reflects His image and likeness. God is good. That extra O is God. I seek to accomplish my goal through having an online business with an email list that I provide product and service, a podcast, a blog that provides content and knowledge. What I need is the framework to work to put this together with website, email list, product and services that reflect professionalism, quality, integrity, and cohesiveness. I'm also an author, a speaker, but my main goal is I'm a life thriver. So that's kind of what I wrote, and I wanted to share that. I have a website that I put up right now that I just built, and I really have worked on building things just kind of like a hobby. I need to get serious. I want to start a 501c right now too. I've had several businesses that I've been playing with, but none of them have been really profitable. I'm really ready to go at it. I've done network marketing business. I've done trading in Forex and futures. I've built website, as I said. I've done an affiliate marketing campaign, so I've touched on that. The problem is that I'm kind of like I short circuit. I start things and then I stop them. I really need to pull all my pieces together, formulate a clear, concise plan. Just like I said earlier, I got to get focused. That's why I'm here. I'm throwing myself out there. You guys can just tell me what you hear, what I need, and I'm ready to go.
Awesome.
No, I really like how you've gotten everything written out. And, at, now it's just going to be a matter of taking, you know, the lean business model and applying. And I think the book that you were referring to, is that Ask by Ryan Levesque?
Yes.
It's a good book. Yeah, it's a great book. And so it sounds like you're diving into the materials that you know where to learn this material from. I'm curious, where else are you gathering information? It sounds like you've been gathering up info for a while.
Quite a while. Of course, I listened to Entrepreneur on Fire. That's how I probably got here. I've done a lot of it. I'm just a learner. I'm one of those guys that just keeps grabbing more and more information. But now it's time for me to implement. That's my biggest problem, implementation. I have a lot of limiting beliefs that I'm still working through. But bottom line, my pain is greater than where I need to go to. So it's time for me to get out of this comfort zone I'm in.
So what do you think you can do to get through? So it sounds like you're a fast starter, and it's just hard. And I'm in this boat. Like, I love starting something, but then it's hard for me to see it to completion. I get excited about multiple things, so I'll go start something before I finish another one. And, you know, how do you see, like, what has worked for you in the past? So that you, and maybe you've got a story of something that you actually did see to completion and you're really proud of.
Well, I'll tell you right now, the biggest thing that I've been consistent at is I have a prayer group. And literally, I've been doing that consistently for 2 to 3 years now. So that's why I say that's my center, my source. And I believe that'll be part of my niche, because I believe in the power of prayer.
So it's not just you, it's a group?
Yes.
How many people?
So it's a total of 7 of us.
And what happens if you don't show up?
Well, if we don't, we let each other know, but then we'll cover each area that, because we all have different areas for that particular night that we're praying. If we don't show up, we'll let each other, and then the person, we got a facilitator, and if the facilitator will fill in or have somebody fill in for that person who doesn't show up.
And have you had issues with someone not showing up consistently and you've had to kick them out or let them go?
They have not had that.
No?
And I'm very grateful for that.
So how do you bring someone – why has this worked for you when in other cases you've had trouble like following through with other things?
Because of God, number one, and my trust and my faith and my belief. And it's my why. That is my why.
Yeah. So how can we – so what within this business that you're going to do – and can you tell more details about the specific type of business?
Well, there's the – first of all, I just call it the ground level grassroots. I have a need to bring in some money because my wife has been the primary bread earner for my family, and it's time for me to step it up. And I need to get out there and make some funds. So, you know, that's why I'm saying I think I have 3 phases. Number one, I want to get this online – seeing conquered and understood. I really, you know, from where I am, I don't really understand it. I mean, I have a little bit of knowledge, but I just don't know how to put it together. I really need to, you know, work on bringing something together that brings in some cash flow for me and my family. So that's number one. Number two is more the esoteric levels. You know, I want to do podcasting and blogging. I just love, you know, communicating, giving to people in a genuine, I heard the word somebody use, in a genuine way. I function better by being who I really am, you know, no mass, no games. Just I'm also a stir. I kind of don't hold things back. I'll tell people what I see as I see it, and you know, I'm open to see this, you know, receive the same thing. But the thing I'm looking at is I really have to look at where I'm at and where I got to get to, bringing all the components together and just moving forward. So that's kind of where I'm at right now.
All right, Tom, you want to add something or got some questions?
Great. I guess I think the fact that you have it written now, you have it pretty clear. I guess my question for you and also kind of the challenge as well would be, what are the next steps taking it from words on paper and understanding who you want to serve and how you want to serve them to doing that? So what is the next step for you?
Well, I would like to be able to build an email list. That would incorporate, of course, that I have people who are – I'm trying to get that connection. Who are my connections right now? So that's why I want to get them, and that's why I want to start with the prayer, because I mean that's kind of more the nonprofit or the 501c element that I'm shooting for in that aspect. But then also my main focus is solving problems. What are the problems that I'm in with? My avatar is someone like myself who has had to struggle, who's older in age, who's gone through things I've had. I'm like in my second wind. I can really sit back and say, man, you've had a great life. You know, I've done a lot of things. I could kick back and just put my feet up, but I would be doing a disservice to myself, and also I'd be doing a disservice to what God would have me to do. So I got to get out. There's people who need, like I've heard the word, that what you have, there's somebody that needs it. So I've got to get out there. I've got to touch lives. Lives got to touch me. That's what's the beauty of this right here. You know, we're helping each other. Just this what I call it, this environment, it just brings out. I love being around environments that bring out the best. And that's what I want to be able to do for other people, just to bring out the best in them, to help them to see you got something to give.
So my challenge then to you would be probably this next week is, so is this your website that I'm looking at, the Prayer Ambassador?
Yes.
Or is this an,
yes.
Okay.
That's the one I just started and just awesome. Kind of started putting together.
Cool. So my question to you would be, are you this is actually, I think, a question Antonio asked somebody else before, maybe was it Mike or I forget. What would be your medium of choice? Or no, Stephanie, I think. Well, what's your medium of choice? Is it right? Is it written? Is it podcast? Is it video?
A little bit of both.
Because I think you know
love
it's
to write,
I
feel
like you're.
Speak.
I was gonna say I think you have a lot of energy when you speak, and I think I don't know what your writing is like, but maybe we can see some samples. But I'd be curious. So I'd definitely like to see what that's like, but I think you might have quite a bit of power in something like a podcast, especially like ways that you can, you know, podcasting is pretty cool because you can repurpose it pretty easily too. There's transcription services that do, maybe it's like $1 per minute, they'll transcribe it pretty well, and you could do a podcast and then just have it transcribed, and then you're kind of hitting two birds with one stone. And of course, you've seen John kind of dominate, you know, the podcasting world with that. I don't know if advertising is going to be in your niche. It's, you know, probably not, or maybe it could be for very targeted ways, but you can still use a podcast in other ways. You can use it to still, again, build an audience, build a following, and that could be something you might want to look into. So I guess my challenge this week would be, excuse me, think through which medium seems the most compels you, I guess, the most, or is the most inviting to you as somebody, like in terms of like spreading a message or in terms of building an audience around it. Okay. And then I would say look into it and see if that makes sense from the standpoint of what you're trying to lead people to. So as in like from a funnel standpoint. So if you were providing this kind of help and support and your goal is kind of consulting type mentorship or coaching or something like that, then I think a podcast is actually really powerful because then I hear your voice, I get to know you, I trust you more. To me, that makes sense as kind of a lead generator for then wanting to work with you or be coached or mentored or whatever. So that would just be one idea, but it's not the end of the game, or it's not the 100% solution. You have to kind of brainstorm it and come back, I think, to us and tell us what you think would be best for you, and then we can kind of get feedback.
Okay.
I don't know if you have anything to add, Antonio.
Yeah, I just want to, I mean, motivation is something that people pay for. And I think you've got a great voice. You've got, you know, you've got a strong, you know, faith. And that is something. But I think what I want to see is to even get more specific, because that's going to grab, that's going to entrance. But that's not, I don't think, going to close the sale, especially if you're not specific, because then you're going to get too, you know, you're going to get a wide variety of clients. You're not going to get, you know, what I love about what like Zach Bob's doing is I just think, I mean, it's crowdfunding, it's crowdsourcing, you know, I anything with crowds, like I get that. I know that that makes him very referable. And for you, HJB, it's going to be like specifically, like if you were to think of your ideal client, how old is he? Is it a he? Is it a she? You know, what are they doing? What's their profession? Why did they come to you? So for you to be able to break out three or four, you know, what you perceive as perfect customer avatars. I mean, these clients, which these would be your dream clients, and this is what they would pay you and why they would pay that. I think that would be something I would love to see by next week.
Okay. Okay, I'll start working on that.
Cool.
I did want to share one thing before I left. I'm out here in the DMV, which is the D.C., Maryland, Virginia. I live in Maryland, but I'm part of the programs here. They have Wounded Warriors and a couple other things. And we had a kayaking football thing for which was at the University of Maryland at College Park. And, of course, I hadn't kayaked in quite a while, and I had to get back in there. But the team that was at Bethesda, or at Walter Reed now they call it, we went out and we had I had two really good players, and we had two young girls. They were probably no older than 14 or 15. But we ended up playing what is it called? Army, Navy, Marines, ROTC. But the point I'm trying to make is that I flipped my kayak at least three or four or five times playing. I was about ready to give up. I was definitely waterlogged. But I with the last one we played in the championship, and I caught, we were down 2-1, and I caught it. It caused us to tie. I made the touchdown. We then ended up winning the event. So that to me is a reflection of just kind of where my life has been. So I just wanted to share that with you, knowing all of you are veterans. God can use the weak things of life, and I'm definitely one of them. So
awesome.
Congrats.
Cool. And Tony, was there anybody else you wanted to hit here?
I would like to hear a little bit more from Nick. You know, we heard last week, we had some great things. Dave's back, so we've got a little bit of time. So Nick, you know, what's going on with the development? I know we had talked about, you know, the snow business. I think one of the more interesting businesses I've seen. You've got ideas to take over all of, you know, whenever we have a glacier go down, I guess, south, all of North America. But, yeah, what's going on with the business with getting that developed? The app, is it going to be an app or a website first?
It's going to be a website to start with. Obviously, I want to be on the iPhone app and the Android app, but where do you start? Do you start with a website or do you start with apps? So kind of want to start with proof of concept, but we can do a website. It's, what's the word there? Set up for mobile. So it looks good on the iPad or any of the tablets and looks good on the cell phone, works well. I spent all week this week going through the trial or the beta test and really changing the wording and not so much the structure. They did a pretty good job of that, but really getting all of the terms, terminology, everything kind of set up in a way that makes sense, sounds good, looks good. And this week the developers are finishing off with the payment system and a little bit of graphic design, and hopefully, I don't want to say next week. I hope next week it's good to go and on our servers, but I really think we're 2 weeks out, just as a guess. And that's where I'm at.
So last week we had a great conversation about how you guys were going to focus on radio and how radio just really works for your target demographic. So I'm surprised that, do you know... Yeah. Is your target demographic, are they more likely to use an app or are they more likely to use a website? Because I feel I've noticed on my website in general, apps and basically, iPads, you know, those are, that's 66% of my traffic.
Oh, yeah, I think the phones and the pads will be the majority of traffic. The problem is when you start, I mean, I'm starting with a limited development budget, I could either have a website that you can access on all devices, or I could make an iOS app. Cost the same. So the website was the place to start. Now, we talked a lot about the radio because everybody kind of focused in and heard radio. What? That's crazy. Who does anything on the radio anymore? I wasn't necessarily talking about just radio. I'm talking about television as well. But it's the same reporters, it's the same producers, it's the same group of people in the communities that I'm targeting. Because we're not America, there's nobody here, and the news is boring.
Cool.
Yeah. I really want to develop the app, and that's the next stage. So once we get the website out, launched, and we're getting traction, the next bit of cash is going straight into the development of apps, because you're right, apps are everything. Everybody that's doing jobs are going to want to do it on their phone. I know that, but it's a budget piece. How do you keep development costs to a minimum before you have a proven concept?
Do you have anyone?
I'm taking a bit of a chance here too, It's not been done directly before. We're starting something new. We're starting a little bit of a new niche. So I really did want to keep the risk to a minimum by keeping development costs down.
I'm wondering how hard is it to develop an app yourself nowadays?
Oh, it's not that hard at all if you pay somebody to do it. I couldn't do it. I don't have the technical skill to code it, but I went on Google and I searched, I don't know, hundreds of developers, and I emailed and talked to on the phone with a number of them. I looked at previous work, and it was not hard to find a developer at all. I had a long list of choices, just had to pick the one that I liked to work with the best.
Good to go.
For everybody that's wondering, hey, how easy is it to get on the internet? It's fucking easy.
Well, good. I'm going to move over. I'm seeing we got a little bit of time left, and I still want to get John. How are things going over there? It looks like you're back on your cell now.
We have a connection? Yes, I'm on my cell now. My barrack shack's internet's pretty crap. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so continuing on with product testing right now. I'd say the biggest item I'm having issues with right now is time gapping it from here to overseas and trying to deal with those guys. It's like midnight my time. It's like 10 a.m. their time. I ask them, why didn't they answer me at 8? Oh, it's early morning. No, it's extremely late at night. Answer your phones on time. I think that's the biggest issue I'm having right now. And apparently none of them can speak English at all over there, so they don't know how to spell what I'm trying to get them to spell. It's driving me nuts. Just crazy, but yeah. And then I talked to Tom this week, was telling him about the biggest problem I'm having right now is even if I don't outsource because I want the writing to be correct, I'll go to like the States, get a tag printed off, and they'll send it overseas, and then I find out it's incorrectly spelled anyway. So I'm trying to figure out which avenue to go, just direct through me overseas or to go through someone here so that it takes a little bit of the stress of trying to get everything spelled correctly out of the loop.
Have you thought about maybe hiring somebody in Phuket to do quality control over there for you?
I have. I haven't found anybody that's really on the ball right now. I've always dealt with the same guys, the guys that actually do my suits, and they've been actually able to do a lot of that stuff for me. I haven't found anybody over there right now that I can trust to do that other than the guys that I know I've met in person when I was over there, so I actually know who these people are.
Yeah.
But it's almost to the point where I want to, because my dad does trips to Thailand all the time, I almost want to send him over and be like, all right, you stay there for a couple of months. You're already going on vacation there all the time anyway, so you might as well be working. But, yeah, no, I haven't found anybody yet to do that quality control as of yet.
Is it something perhaps if you were to set up, like they could actually do a quick like iPhone video of an inspection, and then you could see it, approve it, and then – you know, just you'd be able to do like spot inspections that way.
So I've been doing it by Skype as of yet, but their internet connection is even worse than mine is right now. So half of the time I'm on my phone, but they don't have like a cell phone connection or an iMessage or anything like that. So they're on Skype and their internet is either really good or it cuts out. So I've been trying to bridge the gap there to be able to explain that stuff, because half the time I have to do things over Skype anyway because they'll understand what I'm saying kind of, and then I'm like, no, watch me on video. This is what I'm talking about. And they're like, oh, that's what you're talking about. Oh, okay, but I can't do it all the time because I don't know what's going on with their internet, but it's brutal over there half the time. So
and I had an issue like that with my one of my virtual assistants, and I simply told her I would pay the extra $20 a month for her to upgrade her internet connection.
Yeah.
So
I think it's a valid idea.
Yeah, sometimes it's just not that painful to them because if they mess up, oh, well, you know, but it may just be something to call people on it and say, hey, okay, if it's that much of an issue, I'll pay for you to fix it. Like,
yeah,
let's just solve this issue. And so what about a backup plan? What if these guys don't work out? Like you run into these issues. I mean, everything you're saying, I remember these issues, and sometimes they don't go away.
Yeah, so I have two backup companies right now that I'm I was in talks with one, and I can get products completed immediately by the other. But I'm going to end up forgoing, like I'm not going to be able to do fully canvassed, I'm going to have to downgrade to half canvas suits, which, I mean, the most people don't know the difference anyway, but I don't like the, I don't like half canvas suits. I don't like the look of it. I don't like the feel of it. I don't like the thickness. And right now, my two other alternatives don't do fully canvas suits. Like, okay. One can if I pay them a whole bunch extra, but it's a whole lot more to get the fully canvas suits. So that's where I'm kind of like trying to keep things, obviously, with this company over here that I'm working with right now, vice going with another company.
Are they, but these other ones in Bangkok or Chiang Mai? Or?
No, one is right next to Russia, of all places. It's like in the middle of nowhere, and I don't know if it's in, I don't know, I can't remember off the top of my head. If I Google it, I can figure it out, but it's right on the it's right on the west coast of Russia is one of them, and then the other one's in India through my fabric supplier. Now, here's the other issue is that if I go with those guys, now they've got that entire side of them. They would have the entire side of the market taken care of from fabric directly to production, but then I'm literally cutting myself off to using that only one fabric supplier if I go through that avenue.
Okay. Yeah, India I'd be very careful with. Have you seen any of these suits coming out of India?
They opened up a new factory themselves. Like the fabric supplier I have from England has partnered with somebody from the States, and they've flown into India and have set up an entire new area that they're doing. They're going from scratch and conducting a they're going actually with an MLM marketing style, except with me. They said they go differently with me because I'm already getting fabric from them, that I could get direct supply from them if I want, but what they're going to be doing is they're going into the States and they're doing a MLM marketing campaign for suits is what they're going to be doing.
All right, well, I'm going to share a link with you. I want you to check these guys out. It's been years since I worked with them. They actually had really nice systems. I wish the quality at the time would have been a bit better because I wanted true floating canvas, and I went with what I thought was the best tailor I found in all of Bangkok. But these guys, they were very professional, actually, I'd have to say. It was just simply I wanted more, and Tailor Pro Factory, they're actually up in Chiang Mai, but if you happen to head over that way, they would probably be someone worth checking out. Again, what I loved is they just, like, all the shipping, they handled very well. They had, like, forms and ways that they did things. They had a whole line. I inspected their factory. It may, you know, it would definitely be something you would, I would, yeah, I'm very interested to hear how the one factory over next to Russia and the Indian one, did you say you had samples made over there yet? Looks like you froze. Darn it, did we lose John again?
Possibly.
All right. Dave? Really quick, while John's frozen, we'll move over and we'll let you talk about what you've got going on with the business and where you're at.
So where I'm currently at right now is I am working on the exit strategy. The current company that I work with, the DJ business, it's scaling phenomenally. We're up 15% from where we were at last year. We've added two cities. It's ready to scale on its own without me, but in my current role, I'm the sales and marketing director. So essentially, whenever I step aside April 1st, then I'm going to be stepping aside as I'm going to move more into a consulting role. So basically, the DJ company will be my portfolio client. Okay. I'll be able to show how I took a DJ company from less than $1 million revenue to more than $2.5 million is what we're projected at next year, going from one city to seven by the end of next year. So I'll still remain a consultant for them. The beautiful thing is through the narrative, I get to tell the story of being a Marine Corps veteran and how I've used military procedures and scalability in a business model. So that's been a really great story that's helped me build a small platform. The biggest challenge for me is I can't launch full stream right now just because I am obligated there. But basically, whenever the transition happens, I'll go to about 12 hours a week consulting for that company. That's a landing pad, so I do retain a certain amount of my commissions from that company. And then I'll be looking at taking on full-time clients. I've got a few projected podcasts that I'm looking at working with, and my verb for next year is to speak. So to speak in as many capacities as I can, fine-tuning the curriculum and the content.
All right. Tom, did you have your one-on-one with Dave yet?
We did. Yeah, we did our first call to talk over kind of three primary questions, and then I think I got you booked for
tomorrow.
If not this week. I know this week is going to be kind of crazy. Okay, I got you for tomorrow. And I got a few different people. I know I have Jennifer tomorrow. Tomorrow's pretty tight, so I apologize, guys. If you guys want to schedule someone with me tomorrow, please do, or I can try to fit you in later this week. But ultimately, definitely next week, we'll get on a better rhythm. It's just the holiday season is going to be a little tight. But yeah, we did talk, Dave and I did.
Okay. Cool. I'm going to have to dive in. I have to admit, I know a little bit, but I wasn't aware that you were contractually bound not to do too much till it sounds like in April. So for you, it's just going to be having things lined up so that you can hit the ground running whenever.
Well, it's not so much contractually bound. The great thing about my boss is he's very pleased with the value that I've brought to his organization. As I hit a ceiling earlier this year, I was ready to move on. But you know, we both realized that where the company's going, it's moving so fast that I don't necessarily have to walk away. So for the last two months, he offered me more money, which is always good. But then one of the contingencies for me to stay was he doesn't want me in the office on Wednesdays. And with that, that was the freedom with the understanding that I would go out and start building clientele for myself. So I've already picked up two consulting clients. I just dropped one of them because once we hit a certain phase, they're at a position where they can run without me for right now, and I'll come back after the first of the year once they get to the next phase of growth. So I have found first off, that was my first paid client, so I was able to get my first invoice for, from what I charge, which when I set the first price line was $100 an hour. That was the first time I'd ever charged anything close to that. I've always just, we'll figure it out, and you can pay me what you think, and that was, I'm sure a lot of people think that way, but when I did the first price tag of $100, it was like, all right, let's get started. So obviously now whenever I look at going full-time, to kind of piggyback off of what you guys were talking about with Mike earlier, is I will have some clients that I have that pay the bigger price tag because that's the kind of company that I try to strive to run with, but then I'll also have clients that I take at a smaller price range. It's all based on the project. The biggest difference is that as I do move into that space out on my own next year, I really want to be able to focus on veterans, which is part of why Tom and I have talked a lot offline. That's why I'm part of this circle, is because I think I'll be able to bring great value. And just to kind of piggyback off the mindset, module one, I haven't told any of you guys this yet. I'm very close to getting Simon Sinek as a guest on High Speed Low Drag. I got a confirmation back from his assistant. Now I'm just waiting for it to go through whoever books his stuff. So there might be a little bit of a delay on that, but I'm trying to bring Simon Sinek on to talk mindset with you guys.
That'd be sick.
Yeah, that would definitely be cool. We'll get a big turnout for that one. Well, cool.
So, Well, everything's good. I'm in a learning mode right now. Just I'm learning how to be diligent about my time. Zach has been very good at teaching me to say no, which is no is a word that I've just started to use this year. So even though I still get him to do something different like every week, he's really good at saying no, so I'm trying to get better at saying no, and I do have a plan come April 1st.
Awesome.
Well, really quick, I want to look, see who's out there. Is there anyone out there that we have? I see Michelle is out there. Michelle, I know you've been quietly listening, letting everyone new in the group, you know, be able to talk, and I appreciate that. I saw we did have, see, Dave's out there, Dave Chesson. Thanks for, Dave, how are things going over in Sri Lanka?
I think he's in the States right now.
Is he back in the States?
I think he just pinged me. So he said he wasn't going to be on. He's in GA
right
now.
He's in Georgia, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I think they're still showing up on the list, but I think it's only if they have an icon are they actually in the call.
Yeah, he said he wasn't going to be able to talk because his wife's like...
He's chatting right now. He's on vacation with the wife. Can't chat, just listening. Good day. So let me see. Mike Moreno was out there. I think he's gone now. But so, yeah, and Michelle is saying she loves it. I think, you know, that's one of the great things about this. We'll be bringing in some of the alumni as time goes in, having them speak a bit more and talk. We're also going to be connecting you all with them so that they can share with you what they've learned, actions they've taken. Sometimes maybe just to share what you're doing to make sure, hey, it's straight up. Are you getting your message across when you speak to someone who's never heard? I mean, you've got to get your elevator pitch. We'll talk about, you know, those are things we'll continue to work on. But, yeah, everyone, we're heading out. HJB's heading out. We're at the about the two-hour mark. So, well, we've been on over 2 hours. Great call. Right now, key is make sure you're knocking through the course, setting up your one-on-one with Tom here in December. You guys will start setting up one-on-ones with me. And, you know, we'll continue to move forward with things. But everyone, thanks for – and, John, sorry, man, you were cutting out. We're going to have to work on getting you a solid internet connection so that you can talk to your guys over in Thailand, right? Maybe the connection's on your end.
I think it's a mix, and I went to click the link you gave me, like, to copy it, and when I copied it, it auto-opened and shut down this app. I was like, no!
Nice.
So.
Yeah, well, it's still there, Taylor Pro Factory, and if you get the chance, go to Chiang Mai. It's a fun place. You've been there, Tom, haven't you?
To Thailand?
To Chiang Mai, yeah, Thailand.
Chiang Mai, yeah. I mean, I lived in Chiang Mai for, like, a month, and I lived in Pai for a few weeks, and... I was all over Thailand. I owned Thailand for a little bit.
Yeah?
Yeah. Hasn't been the same since. We'll go back eventually.
They ran out of duck soup when you were there.
Yeah.
All right, guys and ladies, take care. Bye-bye.
Later, guys.